Well, this morning we've heard a version of the story of the ant and the grasshopper. We've read one of the accounts regarding Martha and Mary. And there's loads and loads of thoughts about these two particular stories and criticism of the workers and non-workers in both accounts. And it brought this particular story to my mind. A husband had just finished reading a new book entitled, You Can Be the Man of Your House. Snicker already. He stormed over to his wife, who was reading in the family room, and announced, From now on, you need to know that I am the man of this house, and my word is law. You will prepare me a gourmet meal tonight, and when I'm finished eating my meal, you will serve me a sumptuous dessert. Afterwards, you're going to draw me a bath so I can relax. You're going to wash my back, and you'll towel me dry, and you'll bring me my robe. Then you'll massage my feet and hands. Then tomorrow, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair? His wife, without even looking up from her book, replied, The funeral director would be my first guess. You know, it's easy to criticize when we don't consider all the facts in a situation, and that's exactly, I think, what happens traditionally in the case of Martha and Mary when we look at this story today, and we're going to explore that about our service to Christ and what it is to be in the moment as we look at these two sisters and think about it in this context. Before we do that, though, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, again, we ask that you will just put us in the moment. Help us to stay focused in this time, and you can speak to us and open us up to what you have for us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So that famous Aesop's fable concerning the grasshopper, or in the original it was a cicada, which seems more appropriate because we can hear cicadas all the time, and that spent the summer singing while the ant, or in one of the versions from Aesop, ants, and it's important to think of that in plural as the lesson continues, they worked up a store for food for winter. And when the season arrived, the grasshopper finds itself dying of hunger and begs the ant for food. And in Aesop's one of the original versions, the ant rebukes the grasshopper in its idleness and tells it to dance the winter away now, and the grasshopper perishes while the ant thrives. Very different from the version that we read this morning, but as I said, there are many different versions of this story that have been written since Aesop's time, rewritten, and maybe the focus shifted slightly in every particular case. But there is a lesson here for us, I believe. You know, ants are talked about in the Bible. In the book of Proverbs, it mentions ants twice. And at Proverbs 6, Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no captain, overseer, or ruler. Provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. And then later on in Proverbs 30, ants figure among the four things that are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. So we see in these analogies that ants are looked upon as being something that's busy. And I guess what we would now do today, we would think of bees, I guess, busy bees all through the summer collecting pollen and getting ready for the winter. And you can still see that grasshopper, I guess, just laying around playing his fiddle. And I've drawn a parallel intentionally and incorrectly, as we'll see, between the ant, Martha, and the grasshopper, Mary, because often that's how they've been viewed and that's how they've been interpreted. That Martha was the ant, and in this case almost in a negative context, and that Mary was the grasshopper, enjoying life and enjoying her moment with Jesus. And that's a conclusion that gets drawn very often. But as we see, when we look into this, there's a little bit different spin to it, because this is not the first time, or the only time rather, that Jesus encounters Martha and Mary. And to understand them a little better, we need to look at another time when Martha and Mary encounter Jesus, one that's probably more familiar to us because it's the death of Lazarus. Now, Martha and Mary had a brother, and her brother's name was Lazarus. And it's sometimes hard for us to remember all those connection points. And Jesus clearly has visited this family at least twice, but probably more than that. So they seem to be a close relationship with these three. And I want to read this little excerpt from John, which is the account of Lazarus. A certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany. Remember, we're talking about Mary of Bethany and Martha. And it's the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Another clue to their relationship. They're very close. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And when she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and he's calling for you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in her house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, and they followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to Jesus and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And we know how that story ends. But there's a few things I want to highlight that I think give us some clues to try to help understand Martha and Mary a little better. When they both see Jesus arrive where their brother is buried, they both say the same thing to Jesus when they finally start talking to him. "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died." But it's only Martha that adds to this proclamation or accusation. She adds, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Mary doesn't say anything beyond the complaint about Jesus not being there on time. And I believe this omission is important in our understanding about the central difference between these two sisters. I want to recount the gospel reading again from this morning. Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came and asked him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." So a couple of things, or a few things to point out about that. When Jesus first arrives in the first encounter, it was Martha that welcomed him into her home. And I'm picking up on these words for a reason, because I believe these words are there for a reason. It was not Lazarus's home. It was not Mary's home. It was not their parents' home. The home belonged to Martha. Martha was the head of this household. It was Martha's responsibility to do the greeting. It was Martha's responsibility as the homeowner and head of the household to be dealing with guests, to deal with being a host. Another point, Martha is simply distracted by her tasks. She's not wrong in working on her household duties, making sure her guests in her home were being attended to. She was just distracted by it in the moment. And she doesn't complain to Jesus about Mary. She doesn't demand anything of Jesus. She just asks about her sister, who's sitting over there doing squat relative to the guests, doing what she was supposed to. And lastly, Jesus doesn't tell her to stop what she's been doing. He doesn't say she's wrong in what she's doing. He counsels her to not be worried or distracted by the tasks at hand. And that's the important point. And that's what often gets missed, because we want to tell the story of the ant and the grasshopper, and how the, in a negative way, that the ant was just busy, busy, busy. And the grasshopper enjoyed life. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? Enjoy life. Given the two accounts that we have between Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, I guess, we can conclude, as I said, that this family's special to Jesus and well known. But we, by just reading that first account, the one we read this morning, by itself, we credit Mary, maybe incorrectly, a little bit, with being more spiritual of the two sisters, because she sits at the Lord's feet. She wipes his feet with her hair and the oil. Whereas Martha is traditionally remembered as just running around frantically, cleaning up and serving food, essentially doing everything but listening to Jesus. But we want to remember in the second account, Martha was listening. Because she's the one that says, when she says, if you'd been here, my brother would still be alive, but I know you can do something about that. Mary just complains. So although Mary was listening, she wasn't really listening. She was hearing his words, we can surmise. Martha was not maybe hearing or listening, but she was truly hearing. Get that right. In our Bible study on Wednesday, as I mentioned, we looked at three minor prophets, and in particular, we looked at Amos. And Amos spoke about a problem that Israel, that the people of Israel, had during the reign of King Jeroboam II. God's people, these Israelites, were living a life of distraction. They were distracted by their lifestyles, and this distraction caused them not to live the life God wanted them to the point where they were worshiping the old gods of the Canaanites. They'd forgotten their God, the one God, Yahweh. They'd forgotten that these were the people of God, and they were treating them unfairly. And as Amos says, they were waiting for the Sabbath to be over so we could go back to cheating them again. They were waiting for the new moon so we could go back to selling them for the price of a pair of, as it were, one modern translation said, a pair of flip-flops, sandals. They were mistreating their own people. Ultimately, they didn't listen to him or Hosea, who lived at the same time. And the destruction became true, and they continued to drift further and further away, until ultimately Israel vanished. Worry and distraction. You know, we spend most of our life working for the weekend. Isn't there a song, I'm working for the weekend? And then we work for long weekends. Boy, when they come, we're real good, real happy about that. And we work for our vacations. And ultimately, we work for retirement. But we want to live the life of that grasshopper. We want to live a life where we can just lay around and fiddle about, so to speak. But the reality is that we need to be like ants. We do have to work. And we know that. But we get distracted in the moment in which we live. And that distraction can be caused by any number of things. It can be caused by working for the weekend. Work, 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 and get to the weekend, and it rains. And work, 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 work to the weekend, and it's really bad weather, and you can't do anything. Work, work, work for the vacation, and the flights get canceled. Something goes wrong with it. Or, as it happens with some people I've known over the years, they work, work, work for the week or for the vacation, and they go on the vacation, and it wasn't what I was expecting, you know. And then now I got to go back to work. And as I've already mentioned a few weeks ago, we work, 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 work till we can retire, and then we do. And then about 6 weeks into retirement, the vacation's over. And now what? Well, you know, we get to travel, and we get to do all sorts of fun stuff, and that's great. But then maybe you get a call from the doctor that, well, guess what? You're housebound now. Your health's not as good as it was. And you spent all your life being a busy little ant working for that grasshopper time, and now you can't even play a fiddle because things have changed. We're distracted in the moment because we're looking at a moment that's yet to come. Martha was distracted in the moment that she could spend with Jesus because she was doing the right thing, but she got distracted by it. She could pause for a moment, which is what Jesus is telling her, and come over here and spend time. Now, there's no great speech following that encounter. Jesus didn't sit back and, you know, pontificate some wonderful story to them all. It just goes on and carries on with more events that took place. And I think that's the point of that story. It's not that he had something wonderful to say, and let's wait for it. It's that Mary and Martha and the rest of them needed to just spend some time with him. Now, time is marching here, but I wanted us to think about this in our own context. I'm going to come to your house tomorrow, and I'm going to bring all of the elders with me, because that's my apostles for now. And they're probably going to bring their spouses, maybe some of the kids, I'm not sure. And some of the people from the card group said they wanted to come along too because they're in that outer circle. So there could be hundreds, I don't know. Lots of us. And we're going to come, I don't know, late morning, maybe around lunch-ish. That's what Martha knew. What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to say some nasty words about me to start with, because I would. What the heck are you doing? The second thing you're going to do, no matter how clean your house is, you're going to run around and clean it up again. Because the minister and all the elders are showing up, and I don't know how many other people are going to be here. I better make sure the barbecue has got lots of gas in it. I better make sure I got food. When I was in seminary, we went down to Cuba, and we went to visit a family. Under much of the same kind of context, the group of us that were there, and there was probably 12 or 14 of us at the time, went out to visit a church that was in the jungle, in the forest. And it was basically in a house, and I'm not talking a house like we understand it. A house in the back of Cuba is basically a little shack. And that house was being used as a church as well. And we were going to visit the minister and his wife and have lunch there. And we did, and got the tour, and had a wonderful time chatting, and we sang some songs, had a little worship service, and went on our way. And I found out later on that the meal that they provided for us was 2 weeks' worth of food for that family. So for the next 2 weeks, they were not going to be eating very well. But that's what they wanted to do, by the way. It wasn't imposed upon them. That's how they treat guests. So I'm imagining that Martha had quite a task at hand when Jesus and his 12 disciples and this other group that followed in the outer circle all showed up at her home. No wonder she went out to meet them. No wonder she went out to greet them. But Martha got distracted by all of that noise and forgot that she was spending a moment with Jesus. We get distracted too, folks. And it's not necessarily, I talked about retirement, it's not always because we're busy. We're just distracted. You know, you can be distracted when there's nothing to do. I hear that a lot from when I go visit in senior centers. Nothing to do. Well, there is, in my mind, because you have something to do. Yes, you complain about nothing to do. And you do it all the time. And you do it a lot. And you call all your friends and say you're bored. And you call all your friends and anybody that'll listen to you and say how terrible the food is and how there's nothing to do. And you're wasting moments, distracted by nothing. Well, we can be distracted by lots of things that go on. What's the point of this, really? All of us, as we get older, and I look around and we're all getting older, realize as we look back how quickly we got here. How quickly we got to this moment. Boy, I was 16 yesterday, wasn't I? I used to be able to run up those stairs and back. Not so much now. It seems like it was just yesterday I was doing that. What happened between then and right now? A lot of distractions, folks. And ultimately, a lot of wasted moments. And that's what Martha was being accused of. Really, you're wasting a moment here. There's stuff to do, I get that. Nothing wrong with doing what you need to do. But don't waste the moments. Every moment is a gift from God. Every moment is a gift from God that we have. And we need to live that way. And it's a challenge to do that. It's a real challenge to do that. Because we don't see every moment, honestly, we don't see every moment as a gift. The good times, yep, pleasant times, yes. The good vacations, absolutely. The weekends where the sun is shining, absolutely. But when it's raining, or my flight got canceled, or I got a call from the doctor about another medication I got to add to the list, or when I wake up in the morning, and this is me in the morning, I wake up every morning and think, I never used to do this. But it's a gift from God nonetheless. There's a Jewish prayer that says, "Thank you, God, for returning my spirit to my body that I might worship you yet again today." A prayer that they're supposed to say every morning when they first open their eyes. What a thought that is. That's not a wasted moment if it's sincere. Paul was in prison when he wrote his letter to the Colossians. He was suffering physically as well, but these things did not distract him. He saw opportunities to serve God even in prison. He saw opportunities to serve God even with bad health. We need to view our lives that way. The good, the bad, and the sad are all opportunities to serve God. Let us not let them distract us. Let's pray. Lord, that's the prayer. Help us to not be distracted by the things that are important in our lives, the things that are necessary in our lives. Help us to learn to prioritize them. Help us to learn, as we said at the very top of this service in a prayer, to stop and to take a breath and live in this moment with you, whatever that means. In this moment, help us to hear your voice for the guidance we need. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We now bring our gifts and our offerings as a sacrifice of praise to God. Let us bring them with prayers and shouts of thanksgiving to celebrate God's faithfulness in this very moment.